And welcome to the Redefined Life podcast. Today, we're speaking with Simon from the Index Co-op. He goes by BigSky_7 on Twitter. And really excited to have you here. Been looking into Index for quite a while now. And yeah, I'm excited about everything that you're doing there and that Index is doing. So thanks a lot for being here.
Awesome, Aaron. Thank you for having me. Super, super stoked about this. You know, I love nothing more than talking about, you know, my journey into crypto, my experience at Index Co-op, and, you know, this kind of awesome thing we're creating with these DAOs and these crypto communities. So super, super stoked for this conversation.
Nice. All right. So let's start with your story. When were you first aware of crypto even as a thing?
That is like the $1 million question, right? So I think the first time it came, you know, I really saw it was, I believe I was like a junior in college, 2012 or something, fooling around on the internet, stumbled across Bitcoin, thought it was amazing. And I had no technical background, no idea how to set up a wallet, no idea how to do any of it. So it kind of, you know, it was in the back of my mind, but then it got dropped. And then from there, I really just, you know, I joined the Marine Corps after college as a infantry officer, spent 6 years as an infantry officer in the Marine Corps. And, you know, that was an incredible experience for me. I was able to, you know, kind of travel all over the world. I was able to lead Marines and I was really passionate about it. And I will never forget, like, I got back from deployment in 2016 or 2017, kind of at the start of the big time, you know, crypto bull market, right? And I remember, my Marines were cleaning their rifles after deployment. And like, I heard them kind of talking, like they were, you know, just saying like, hey, I just like made 10 times as much money on like Dogecoin or something. And they were talking about it. I was like, whoa, what is this thing they're interested in? And I like, you know, kind of went down the rabbit hole then and, you know, dived into Ethereum, was, you know, super, super passionate about what was going on. But I also didn't really have the context to fully understand what was going on, because I didn't really have a business background. I didn't have a finance background. I'd spent, you know, the entire time in the Marine Corps. So I wasn't really able to capitalize on it. I wasn't able to really get involved with crypto in a full-time way at that time. So I got out of the Marine Corps in 2019. I went to NYU for business school. And I thought at the time that I was going to be, you know, like a big time investment banker in New York City. That was like very much my dream. So at business school, I learned a ton about finance, got a lot more comfortable, you know, with some technical things. And then, you know, I was working at an investment bank in New York City last summer, kind of as DeFi summer was happening. And, you know, I really enjoyed the intellectual atmosphere. I enjoyed working with the finance at the bank, but it kind of felt like I was just joining the Marine Corps all over again, right? Like a very structured environment. It was very linear. It was very hierarchical. And I wanted to be part of building something that was really new and exciting. So, you know, from there, I got down at the bank that summer and I was like, you know, I really want to explore crypto more. I want to learn more about this. And I, you know, started poking around on forums, started kind of joining Discords and I actually moved down to Mexico specifically just to kind of focus on crypto. And be able to just, you know, really dive in. So I spent, you know, the first couple months just learning everything you can do, just like everybody does. And then started to get really involved in Index Co-op in the late fall. And, you know, I saw there was a lot of opportunities to contribute. There was a lot of good work to be done. So, you know, from there, I was really able to just kind of get involved and help out and, you know, do some things that needed to be done. And then, you know, kind of shortly after that, I was able to join the community as a full-time contributor. And, you know, since then it's just been an absolutely incredible experience.
Awesome. So what were some of your, when you first saw opportunities to help with Index Co-op, what did you see that, kind of gave you that confidence to give it a shot? And was it a volunteer effort or was it a paid opportunity?
It was very, very nascent and undefined. So one of our community members, Punya, made a post very early in our forum saying, hey, we're looking for non-technical contributors to make like a slide deck. And I was like, okay, I know how to make a slide deck. So I went and I helped out. I built the slide deck and, you know, it was just an okay slide deck and, you know, started attending the meetings and started just kind of looking for like little, you know, things here and there to do. And, then at that point I kind of noticed like, hey, there's not a lot of work being done in some of the business development areas, some of the finance areas, you know, I think I could probably take a swing at it. So, and I really didn't like the trick of the DAO is you don't ask permission, you just start doing. So I just like added a slide called business development to our weekly meetings. And I started being like, hey, this is what I'm doing every week. And just kind of running down opportunities, letting it evolve. And I mean, you know, 6 months later, we just completed our treasury diversification round from a number of great investors. And, you know, one thing led to another. And, you know, before I know it, I was, you know, kind of pitching Index Co-op to, you know, some of the best VC funds in the world, and was, you know, tremendously humbled and tremendously fortunate that the community had the faith in me to, you know, allow me to kind of pursue some of the initiatives I've sought.
Nice. And so with that slide deck, you know, call to action, was that a paid opportunity or was that just to start to get involved on a volunteer basis?
Yeah, it was paid. It was, I think it was like $200 worth of Index the first month. Right.
Yeah.
And, it was very like, we didn't have really any defined process at the time. There was maybe 5 or 6 people actively involved in the community at the time. And, as it evolved, like I felt like, you know, we had people who really had ownership in the protocol and were helping to shape the discussions, and, you know, everything since then has just kind of evolved really naturally. Like, you know, after a few months, it was like, hey, there's 4 of us who are really working full time at this thing. Let's figure out a way that we can do this full time. And we, you know, helped draft up a forum post, you know, describing the roles of a full-time contributor, what their rewards were going to be, what they were going to be paid. And, you know, the community had, had faith in that and supported it and voted for it. And, it really evolved pretty naturally from there.
Nice. So yeah, and that kind of touches on another question that I've gotten from some of the listeners based on previous conversations. So when you put together a proposal, if you see an opportunity to make a contribution, what is there any kind of like common advice for how to price a proposal?
Well, I think as people start to get involved in DAOs and crypto communities, like the way I think about it is the most important step is building context on that community. And you build context in a number of ways, but it really starts with getting involved, right? Like going to the meetings, being on the Discord, posting on the forums, asking questions, having like one-on-ones with the different people that are involved in the community. And from there, it'll arise naturally. Like there's 1 or 2 things you can help out with. You can do this, you can do that. You'll start to kind of, you know, get your feet wet. And then after a point, after, you know, a month or a couple of months, you really have built enough context to say, hey, like this is something that this organization really needs. This is really going to help drive it forward. And, you know, at that point, I think is that point where you start drafting actual proposals, actually making, you know, real contributions to the community, because you have the context to understand what's going on, right? And you understand like, hey, this is realistically what we can fund. This is, you know, some of the benefits that we think this can drive. This is how we move this protocol forward. And from that point, it's really natural. It's like any other job. It's like, not any other job, but like any other organization you're part of. You understand kind of the long-term mission, how everything orients, and you're able just to be like, hey, I can contribute in this area here.
Nice. So, the advice to folks coming in isn't necessarily to come in with a proposal in hand to, you know, to start, depending on the proposal, wrecking things or improving things.
Yeah, totally.
To spend some time interacting with the active community members who are already in there, who are already building, get a sense of the culture and the norms. Once you've integrated into the community a bit, then you know, keep an eye out for those opportunities, and through conversations those norms will be discovered and you can contextualize your proposal within those norms. Is that the summary?
Yeah, well, I always tell community members, like, don't try and fit yourself into like some arbitrary box. Like, this is what I bring to the table. It's like, define like what you want to be working on for the rest of your life. What do you want to be working on for the next year, the next few months? Like, what are you passionate about? And then like, once you have that, you can kind of be like, oh, this is how this fits into kind of our community mission. This is how I add value. And like, the communities are nascent enough that a lot of the asks aren't clearly defined. It's pretty broad. Like, a great example is we have a new community member, Crypto Texan, who joined a few months ago, and he was really passionate about doing AMAs, right? And he was like, hey, I see that we could do AMAs on our Discord. We could bring different people in that do it. And like, we didn't have, like, there wasn't a clear value there, right, for our community. It's like, it didn't drive revenue. But I was like, you know, you can create this into whatever you want it to be. And now it's a thing where it's like, we're bringing all these leaders from across crypto to come do AMAs. And it's incredibly valuable for our business development arm, right? Like, we're bringing in people that we're trying to partner with, and they're talking about, you know, why that partnership might make sense. And it's great for like marketing and content generation, because all of a sudden we have these recorded AMAs we can push out on our social media channels. And like, that just arose from something he wanted to do that he was passionate about, that he was going to have fun doing.
Yeah. So it doesn't, the big picture of how it evolves is not always clear, you know, from the get-go, but if it's something that the person is passionate about doing and is interested in carrying on, then you know, sometimes those things will evolve, and the true value of what that activity brings is going to reveal itself over time.
Exactly. Like, I think the thing we need to break is this mentality that I'm going to show up to a job and somebody's going to tell me what to do. And I believe that mentality is kind of a holdover from the 20th century. I think it's slowly going away. And like, DAOs are really accelerating that process where you can, like, there's nobody here that's gonna, like, yes, there's some like little tasks right here and there that people want done and need help with. But at the end of the day, the community members that have true impact aren't the ones that show up and are like, what, you know, I'm gonna wait around for somebody to tell me what to do. They're like, I'm just going to make an impact, and I'm going to figure out what needs to get done, and I'm going to start doing it, and it's going to be awesome. And we see that time and time again, right? Like, the community members that really succeed in our community aren't the ones that are just kind of on the sidelines, like waiting for somebody to, you know, grab them and, you know, impose like a 20th century structure of like, hey, I'm in charge of you, you're going to do X, Y, Z. They're the communities that are like, hey, I'm my own boss. I'm confident being my own boss. I'm confident what I bring to the table. And I'm just going to make it awesome, and I'm going to make sure it drives revenue for this protocol.
Yeah. So the change, instead of showing up to work and having your boss be like, okay, well, today you're going to make this spreadsheet. It's like, sounds to me like what you're suggesting is, get involved in the community, pay attention to the forums, Discord, whatever it is, and have those conversations. And then at the moment that you're like, oh man, this doesn't exist yet, this would be cool, that's the thing to start building.
Exactly.
So we're talking a lot about Index. Why don't you just give me a brief rundown on what Index is?
So Index Co-op is it's a DAO, so decentralized autonomous organization. And we support the creation and launches of crypto index funds. So the way I think about it, so up to the early 1970s, there was really no way for the average person to gain exposure to the stock market in a diversified way. And this meant that if you were an investor, you were getting exposed to a tremendous amount of volatility. There was extremely high risk. And even, you know, if you did navigate that, like, the amount of time and effort it was required to make really informed investments on different stocks was really prohibitive for the vast majority of people. And index funds changed all of that. All of a sudden, there was a way when they, you know, were kind of invented in the 1970s for average people to gain diversified exposure to the market, to dampen some of the volatility, to provide access to the upside. And index funds, in my eyes, like, they changed the financial futures of millions of families. They really brought tons of people into the global middle class, and they made things possible for families that never would have been possible before. They helped people all over the world partake in our financial system in a way that was doable for them, that was safe for them, that wasn't super high risk. And index co-op is like, we're really the evolution of that. We're the next step. We were trying to do, or we are doing, the same thing for crypto. We are bringing diversified indexes to the crypto marketplace so people can gain broad exposure to sectors and themes without, you know, the massive amount of time it takes to research every DeFi protocol, without being exposed to the high volatility in crypto markets, without some of these risks that come in play. And, you know, we really see the indexes we release at Index Co-op as really being the stepping stone for a whole new generation of people, a whole new generation of families to enter this space and invest in it safely, invest in it in the right way. And, you know, we're incredibly, incredibly excited to see just the massive influx of energy and passion that is coming into the crypto right now.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, as somebody myself who prior to crypto was pretty much exclusively invested in, you know, broad market index funds, I would often describe it to coworkers as, you know, a way to, instead of betting on an individual company, not only was I dampening risk through the diversification, but it was also betting on the American economy as a whole. So I think the way that I've looked at indexes within crypto is similarly, where it's like, you know, I don't know enough of the technical background to have enough context to know which individual protocol is going to make it over the long term. But I believe in crypto as a whole. And with the way that the index products, you know, rebalance, like DPI, I can place that diversified bet on the crypto industry or DeFi industry as a whole and reduce some of that risk, and don't need to have the significant technical background or spend the time researching to know about each one of these individual companies or protocols or projects, that is. So, yes, it's awesome that these things exist for a lot of people.
Absolutely. Because like the thing to remember is DeFi is complicated. Like DeFi, some of the basic concepts are simple, but once you start diving into the protocol level, it becomes very, very complicated very, very quickly. And I think the reality of DeFi is like we cannot expect every single individual in the world to be able to parse the difference between Curve and SushiSwap, right? And like that's not viable for 99.9% of the population, and that's okay. But people are smart, people are informed, people understand what DeFi is, they understand the value that the sector offers, they understand how this will transform the global financial system. And you know, this allows you to take a financial stake in that understanding.
To swing back to the kind of employment conversation and people who are looking to get jobs and exploring the idea of getting a job in crypto as a replacement to traditional employment, do you see crypto jobs as being inherently riskier than traditional employment?
That's a very good question. I think it's very nascent, right? And I don't think it's riskier. I think it's more, it hasn't been defined yet. And I think people need to embrace the fact that they themselves will have to define what that means. A good example, like our full-time contributor awards, like we didn't have like health insurance factor into that at first, right? We didn't have all these other things. And all of a sudden, you know, a month later, people are like, hey, we need this, we need this, we need this, we need to define it this way. And, you know, we're slowly building out these processes, but it's like an active approach, right? It's not like a company where we just have it all laid out and you join and you get X, Y, Z. It's like we are collaborating as protocol owners to make sure that this protocol is working for this protocol, working on this protocol is long-term sustainable for really, you know, anybody that can do the work. And it's a very active process. And I think when people start to really embrace that ownership mentality, that is like kind of like when the switch flips for them.
What is preventing this kind of organizational structure from becoming kind of an extractive setup like certain corporations have become, you know, over time? Does the DAO setup solve that kind of issue?
The DAO setup absolutely solves that issue. The more broadly ownership and decision-making is distributed in these organizations, the better decisions they make, the more fair decisions they make, the more they're able to take care of the people that are doing meaningful work for the protocol. Because at the end of the day, it's like, it's not one person divvying up the rewards for 100. It's 100 people divvying up the rewards for 100 based on the value they bring to the protocol.
How does that culture, not just that culture, but, you know, say the culture of the index co-op, how does that get preserved over the longer term? Because I was so impressed looking at the forum. You know, there was a post recently, a risk too big not to take, by, let me see who that was by, Hellmass. And, you know, looking at that post plus all the replies and then digging deeper into the forum, it kind of got my heart racing, just, you know, seeing specifically the values and the culture that that Index Co-op was built on and that seemed to be consistent throughout the members. And it's just one of those things where it's like, man, this needs to be preserved and fought for. How do you see that being maintained over the long term?
Culture happens every single day. And like the culture you build is the sum of the individual actions you take every single day. And the way we maintain our culture, the way we grow it, the way we continue to make it this thriving community where it's open to everyone and it's welcoming and we really believe in something bigger than just, you know, token price goes up, is by committing to that every day and, you know, upholding these values of openness and acceptance and, you know, reaffirming those in every single meeting we do, reaffirming those in our approach, reaffirming those in our structure. And that is incredibly important. It's incredibly valuable. And it's something that, you know, leadership in decentralized autonomous organizations is even more important than leadership in centralized institutions, right? You don't have some structure or framework to fall back on. All you have is your community values. All you have is, you know, what people bring to the table, how they, you know, what kind of culture they themselves uphold. And, you know, culture for me is a non-negotiable with DAOs. If you don't have a good culture, you will not succeed. You will not be long-term viable. Your protocol will not be profitable. And, you know, we've seen crypto communities without good cultures, with cultures just based on token price, with cultures that are not collaborative, with cultures that are not accepting. And ultimately, those cultures will not succeed and those protocols will not succeed. And for me, it starts with every single person who's involved in the community taking ownership for the culture and taking full responsibility for driving it forward.
So yeah, it's just expressing those values and making sure that decisions and proposals and everything that happens on a daily basis is in line with those values.
100%.
So the options we've spoken quite a bit about the options that people have to get involved, being present in forums or the Discord, asking questions of the existing members, building that context over time, and then finding that thing that you see is missing that fits what your interests and skills are and what you think will be cool to add.
Can I add something to that too?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think the last part that I tell every new community member, and I think is incredibly important, regardless of your background, is like, you have to be relentless. You have to be relentless. There is a lot of noise. There's a lot of things going on in these communities. They move very, very fast. They, you know, are incredibly, they can be very complex. But, you know, it's not what you bring to the table. It's like, if you are relentless and driven and say, you know, I am going to make a place for myself in this community, the community will support you. There will be a place for you. And the community members I see who come into Index Co-op and thrive and just do awesome things are the ones who are truly relentless. They say, you know, I am here. I am valued. I am part of this community. I'm taking ownership for our future. And, you know, my voice will be heard.
Well noted there. Some of the people who have listened to this show have asked me about if there's a space for people who work a 50-hour plus work week at their existing job, have commitments to family or how owning a house or things like that. And some of the people that I've spoken to have indicated that, you know, if you don't have a certain risk tolerance to having, say, a 3-month contract, that there might not be a place for you in, you know, the specific protocol that you know these other folks were referring to, just because there is in this specific situation that I'm referring to, there isn't any kind of certainty that the proposal to fund, you know, this working group for another 3 months will be renewed. Do you think that at Index, there's a good fit or a way for people with kind of those high stakes, longer term commitments, you know, would be able to have some sort of sense of security beyond a, say a 3-month window or short-term window? Or is that something that's just not present in a DAO setup?
That sense, absolutely. Absolutely. We have many, first of all, we have many community members who are part-time. We have people with families, with homes, with kids who work on Index, you know, part-time, and everybody comes to me with that worry. They come on our first call, they'll say, Simon, I only have, you know, 5 hours a week to contribute to this. I just want to get involved. And every single one of those people ends up sticking around. They end up getting involved more. They end up getting more comfortable with the structure. And at the end of the day, it's like, if you are driving results, if you are truly contributing to this protocol, there will always be a place for you in the protocol. And yes, like you will have to quantify those results. You have to make it clear that you're doing things that help add value, that move our protocol forward. But as long as you, like, it's a bet on yourself. As long as you are confident in yourself that you are able to drive these results, that you are able to create this value, like, there will be a place for you.
Yeah, it sounds like it's clearly a very much an entrepreneurial spirit that's required to take that responsibility. And as you know, as we've said a couple of times now, you know, find that fit, build what you think needs to be built there, and then continue to show results. And much like running your own business, it's you're not going to get paid unless you've got the results that are matching the market. So that it seems like that's one of the critical mentalities that's required for success in this context.
Absolutely. And in my, I mean, it's an ownership mentality, right? And it's like, there's no limit. So there's no limit. There's like no upper limit on what the token price can be or like how much money you can make out of it. Like, it's really up to you and like your imagination and what you create and how you add value and how you drive that. Like, there, you know, if you have 100 Index tokens or some other governance token of a protocol you're part of, like the price of those tokens, the price of your equity in that protocol, that is a reflection of the work you are doing, right? And it's like, that can be as valuable or not valuable as you make it. And, you know, when people embrace that mentality, that's when we really see like real results and real value accruing to these protocols.
So what other cool things are happening as far as like ways that people can get involved? I saw that there was an internship program that looked like it was getting spun up.
We have so many cool things happening. So I think I want to give a huge shout out to Pepperoni Joe. He's been running with a lot of our community initiatives lately. We have a new joiner call every week that is, you know, really to help people get oriented, really help people kind of hit the ground running with Index Co-op. We've seen just incredible amount of enthusiasm and energy for that. We, you know, get incredible new people in our community every week, and that's absolutely vital for our growth, our success as a protocol. We have our internship program, which will be starting later this summer, specifically targeted at university students all over the world, but, you know, really open to anybody who wants to get involved and kind of, you know, learn about DAOs, you know, experience what it's like to work here. And then a huge focus of mine has been, you know, bringing more women into crypto. We just had our first Women in Index Co-op community call today. We had 15 female contributors on that. And like, you know, I think, you know, this is a global financial revolution. We have to bring everybody on board. It can't happen with just, you know, a small homogenous group. It has to be everybody in the world. And, you know, when I think of what my focus is strategically for Index Co-op, it's like, how do we bring these groups on board? How do we ensure they're thriving? How do we make sure they grow? How do we make sure that like, yes, you have to be relentless to, you know, kind of be successful in this in some of these protocols, but like, you don't have to be relentless alone, right? Like that's what community is for, is to help each other. It's help, you know, it's to allow kind of like an emergent system to happen from the individual actions of many different people. And people need a foundation for that. And like that foundation is the community we're building. That foundation is giving a safe place for newcomers to join and get involved and learn more about the protocol and then eventually start to contribute. So, you know, when I think about, you know, some of our main focuses, you know, over the next 6 months, over the next year, it is doing that, exactly that, and building out that structure.
What advice specifically do you have to help, you know, traditionally underrepresented folks get their foot in the door or start getting involved?
I think the first thing to remember is like, this is a global movement. This is a movement that is aimed to help every single person in the world. And it is happening globally. You know, some of our strongest contributors are from Africa, from Australia, from China, from India, from South America. Like, we have people globally, and we have, you know, smaller groups of people, you know, kind of connecting with each other in these different regions from these different backgrounds. And, you know, community can be big and community can be small, right? So like Index Co-op, the community is big. It's hundreds, it's thousands of people right now. The people that are involved, they're learning about it, they're getting involved in it. But the community can also be small, and that's not a bad thing. It's like, we want there to be small, you know, smaller subcommunities within Index Co-op where people, you know, feel like they can connect with people from their same background, where they can speak the same language, where they have the same life experiences. And as Index Co-op continues to grow, as it continues to scale, like, I'm tremendously excited to see more and more communities form within Index Co-op, specifically to make sure there's a safe landing place for everybody who wants to get involved in the community.
Just want to give you an opportunity to, you know, add anything else that you think we didn't touch on that you think would be helpful for folks who are looking to start doing this either as a part-time job or as a career.
Well, Aaron, first of all, thank you for having me on. This has been absolutely incredible. I love nothing more than talking about Index Co-op. I love nothing more about talking about the DAO revolution, the global financial revolution that is happening right now. I'm incredibly passionate about it. And I want to affirm to your listeners that, you know, there is a place for you in crypto. And it's, you know, you need to have the faith in yourself that you will find it, that you will be able, that you will create it, that you will build it. But like, there is a place for you. And people want you, like, you're needed. We need this energy. We need this passion. We need new ideas. And every single person that comes and joins makes the community stronger. It makes the organization stronger. You know, please, please swing by our Discord, swing by our forums, get involved, learn about the protocol, and have confidence in what you bring to the table and your ability to drive the future of DeFi, of crypto, of Index Co-op. And, you know, of what your contribution to that looks like.
Awesome. Thank you. And I highly encourage people to specifically check out the forum. That for me was kind of a turning point where I was able to get real insight into the culture at Index. And I found a lot of information in there that rapidly sped up my familiarity and the context that you know, Simon was talking about earlier. Additionally, those Friday community calls, I found to be incredibly insightful as well. So those two things in particular with Index, I highly encourage anybody who's curious about it to definitely get involved at with those as a starting point. Simon, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. It was super helpful. I will have links to these various things that we've spoken about in the show notes. And yeah, best of luck to you and Index. We're rooting for you, and everybody else who's contributing. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Excited to do this again in a few months.
Nice. All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Talk soon.